Our scripture this morning is from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, the baptism of Jesus. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased."
Thank you, Julie. And a special thank you and shout out to the Donnelly girls, Allie and Jenny, for leading us in music the last two Sundays. By which I mean last Sunday and this Sunday. So thank you very much. We appreciate it. Neil has left us in very good hands. Thank you. Off the west coast of Scotland lies a very, very small island called Iona, I-O-N-A. It's so small that it's 1 mile wide, that's it, and only 3 miles long. Yet its significance far outweighs its size. For here is located a bastion of spirituality known as the Iona Community, which is known worldwide. It was an ecumenical ministry, which means anybody's welcome to come. You don't have to be a certain sect, denomination, or religion, really. An ecumenical ministry founded by George MacLeod in 1938. Among the appeals that draw hundreds and thousands, really, of pilgrims each year is the spiritual quest for meaning. Living spiritually in our very material world. Is there more to life than what we can filter through our five senses? Or is this it? What we see, feel, hear, that sort of thing. It was Reverend MacLeod who introduced a phrase into the religious world that many people still use, and I like it. It's called thin places. Thin places. He said Iona was to be a thin place, where only tissue paper separates the material from the spiritual. Thin place, where we touch, ever so bit tangentially, the holiness of the other, the divine, God, whatever we name that other, we feel a bit of transcendence. Thin places. I can't think of a better way to describe what spirituality means, experiencing those thin places where, on this side of the material world, we are close enough to sense the presence of something beyond the material world. So now, spirituality isn't a concept with which we are very conversant. I am not. I've analyzed my own life, my own spirituality, or lack thereof, and I have come to the conclusion that spiritual experiences don't happen very often, and they don't happen very often in church. It's a confession of your pastor. And I should guess probably many other pastors as well. So I pray, and I mean what I pray. I'm conscious about what I say or what I bring to you. But I rarely feel a moment of transcendence. I don't feel it to be a thin place. I preach and I teach, and I mean what I preach and I teach, not lying, but I don't always feel elevated or transformed. I sing and I enjoy the music of our choirs and our orchestra, but I don't always feel transfigured. And every month with you, I celebrate communion, but I don't always feel captured by what theologians call the real presence of God in the elements. It's not that I never do, it's that I rarely do. And my guess is that that's probably a common experience people are unlikely to admit or confess. I assign the blame to a number of factors, one of which is that worship has become for us an informational event, a time for the head to take in all the correct information about God and the Bible, none of which is bad, but it lacks the power to evoke meaning or feeling. So we talk about God without experiencing God. We invoke the Spirit of God but don't feel spiritual. We go away enlightened but not impassioned. Now, at the baptism of Jesus, we have an example of what I think is an authentic experience of the Spirit. Upon coming up from the waters at his baptism, as Julie read, Jesus had a vision, like a dove coming down upon him and giving him a passion, a reason for living that would inform his life, the rest of his life, who he was and what his life was about. Some people claim that Jesus was a mystic. I agree. If by mystic we mean that he had frequent and vivid experiences of the sacred. Frequent and vivid experiences of the sacred. Not only at baptism did he have an otherworldly experience, but he also had spiritual visions during his temptation in the wilderness, if you remember that. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, where something really crazy happened. Then on one occasion, he heard the report of the 70 apostles that he had sent out. They came back with good news about the success of their mission. And he had a vision in which he claimed to have seen the defeat of Satan's evil empire. So these are aspects of Jesus that we have conveniently forgotten because we're uncomfortable with them as people who are rational and informational in the way we approach things. As a result, we have avoided hard questions like, hey, have I had a real spiritual experience of the divine? Have I been moved in some mysterious way by a real palpable encounter with God? And where and when might we have such experiences? It's a mystery. The search for the thin places of spiritual encounter with God, that search isn't something that our culture promotes. We have our eyes on the ground, kind of like our kids playing video games while we're driving through purple mountain majesties. Look out the window, kids. Look at that. It's beautiful. Oh, but I'm winning this game. For me, the problem is my rationalism, my intellectualism. Experiencing God so often sounds to me like primitive, pre-scientific belief in miracles, which I don't accept. I don't believe in literal miracles, when God would routinely interrupt natural laws by making the sun stand still or making fish swallow people or making the Red Sea divide, or people walking on water. Some people believe that, and that's fine. It's just my opinion. I've never believed that. Accordingly, I don't believe that God speaks literally or audibly. I've never heard anything like that. I've never seen a burning bush out of which a voice of God happens, like Moses did. I've never been spoken to by Balaam's donkey or by even my own dogs, except a bark or two. So, how does a rational person who doesn't accept the literal intervention of God in the normal, natural world, how does such a person like I am, and like probably many of you are, talk about still experiencing God in those thin places where heaven and earth meet if we don't expect a direct intervention of God or a suspension of natural law? Well, it lies, I have found, in my ability to transcend reason, not to contradict reason. Anything that contradicts reason won't fly for me or many others. I have to find God in the natural world and not the supernatural world. I have to see God in the ordinary, not the extraordinary. I have to experience the divine in the usual, not the unusual places, like I experience God when I sit silently beneath a dark, moonless sky and behold the Milky Way and hear nothing but silence. Or stand atop a high peak and witness hawks catching the afternoon updrafts. Or marvel at the simple fact that I didn't die overnight, but my heart kept pumping blood. That's kind of weird. And I was able to breathe automatically without conscious effort, and yet being 6, 7, or 8 hours under, all of that still worked, and I'm alive. These miracles don't require an abandonment of reason or intellect. They just require a kind of sixth sense to see in the natural world a touch of the divine as part of our natural world, calling out to us, changing our perspective, inducing us to acknowledge the divine, and at the same time to give thanks. So what about worship? Now, ideally, thin places should also occur in the ordinariness and routineness of worship, although, as I suggested a few moments ago, these moments of worship often pass us by without even evoking wonder or awe of anything. It's just something we went to. That's the challenge of worship for me. And as worship leader, I have problems with that. Have we provided opportunities for the divine to invade this space and this time? And it's more a question of feeling than thinking. How do we feel when we leave worship? Learning is fine, but it's passion and emotion and feeling that carries us through the week and motivates us to love others in the spirit of Jesus. Now, this topic has been the center of our attention for the last two meetings of our adult Sunday school. Where are the thin places in the routines of worship? Well, two weeks ago, we were introduced to a prayer, a Jewish Sabbath prayer that impacted all of us. In fact, so much it opened us up to a new way of praying, a meditative, contemplative practice that was meant to evoke God's presence, not just talk about God's presence. We decided to share it with you this morning. That was a decision of about 10 of us. So we have decided to share that prayer with the broader congregation this morning, and we do that in place of our normal affirmation of faith. But hear me out, a couple of instructions. The words are printed in the bulletin, but before we pray it as a congregation, I have asked four choir members to join me in praying through this prayer the first time, because we will pray it in a certain way that hopefully will elicit some sense of the divine presence. Space for meditation will be provided between each of the lines. And after we are finished, then I will invite us all to pray it in unison. The poet Charland Sledge writes that the thin places are those where the door between this world and the next is cracked open just for a moment, and the light is not all on the other side. Some of it's on this side. So may our prayer this morning open a crack between worlds and demonstrate that the divine light is not all on the other side. It is on this side as well. May God bless us as we center our attention and focus our thoughts on the divine one, whom many call God.
Days pass, and the years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles.
Fill our eyes with seeing and our minds with knowing.
Let there be moments when your presence, like lightning, illumines the darkness in which we walk.
Help us to see wherever we gaze that the bush burns unconsumed.
And we, clay touched by God, will reach out for holiness and exclaim in wonder, how filled with awe is this place. Now, if you would take your bulletins, you see the guided meditation there. We will simply pray through it without intermission as we pray these lines. May they speak peace and blessing and the presence of God to us. Let us pray together. Days pass and the years vanish, and we walk sightless among miracles. Fill our eyes with seeing and our minds with knowing. Let there be moments when your presence, like lightning, illumines the darkness in which we walk. Help us to see wherever we gaze that the bush burns unconsumed. And we, clay touched by God, will reach out for holiness and exclaim in wonder, "How filled with awe is this place." Amen.